I'd like to start today by reviewing some facts about the Bible. These are approximations. They depend on which version the Bible you're talking about. But the Bible has about 66 books, 1,200 chapters, 31,000 verses, and just under 800,000 words. And when you understand it correctly, the biblical account covers billions of years of the history of the universe, thousands of years of man's history. It is without question the most influential book in the history of history. Victor Hugo said, "England has two books, the Bible and Shakespeare. England made Shakespeare, but the Bible made England." Andrew Jackson, the 7th president of the United States, said, "The Bible is the rock upon which this republic rests." The Bible begins with the word "in," and it ends with the word "amen." Those are the facts about the Bible. But what does it mean? What are all those books, all those verses, all those words and chapters telling you and me? So today I'd like to talk about fundamentals. In a previous message, you may remember, I challenged you to try to explain what the Bible is about in a single sentence. And the argument I made was that the most compelling and enduring lessons in the Bible were about what? Does anybody remember?
Relationships.
In Matthew 22, verse 36, Christ is asked, "What is the great command in all the law?" And his answer was about what? It was about relationships. To love God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our understanding, and to love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. Matthew 22, verse 40 says that on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, which is to say they all hang on relationships. This week's editorial was about relationships. Much of the news in the update this week was about relationships. So relationships are fundamental. Today's message is about another fundamental question. And the fundamental question is this. What is the most fundamental change God requires of those to whom he will grant eternal life? So sort of zoom back and think about the commandments, the lessons, the examples in the Bible about who will and who will not inherit eternal life, and what is the most fundamental difference? Think about that, then fill in this blank. The most fundamental change that must take place in the life of a true Christian is a change in what? Is it a change in what we believe? John 3:16, you don't need to turn there because you probably can recite it. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So belief is a requirement for salvation. It is necessary, but is it sufficient? James 2, verse 19. James 2, 19. "You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." So the Bible says it is possible to believe and not be saved. So I would argue that the most fundamental change we must make is not belief. What about faith? Is faith the most fundamental change God requires? A change from not having faith to being full of faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So it should be self-evident that if we're not pleasing to God, he is not going to invite us to live with him forever. Ephesians 2 verse 8, which I'll read for you. Ephesians 2 verse 8 also says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." So one change that must happen to make us eligible for eternal life is a change from not having faith in God, in Christ, and in his word, to having faith. But is it the most fundamental change? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2, if you want to turn there. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2. "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have" what? "And though I have all faith so that I could move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing." Believing in Jesus Christ, having faith in him, in God the Father, is necessary. But someone can have all faith and still be nothing. Something else fundamental is also required. Is that something obedience? Is the most fundamental change that takes place in the life of a Christian a change from being disobedient to being obedient? 1 John 2, verse 3 and 4. 1 John 2, verse 3 says, "By this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." So will God give eternal life to those who ignore his commandments? The Bible says absolutely not. Obedience is required. But is it enough? Matthew 19, if you want to turn there, we'll spend a little bit of time there. Matthew 19, starting in verse 16. Matthew 19, verse 16. "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' So he," Christ, "said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter eternal life, keep the commandments.'" Christ then goes on to list some of the commandments. And the young man responds like this in verse 20. Matthew 19, verse 20. "All these I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Dangerous question. What do I still lack? If we ask Christ, what do we still lack, what would he say? Keep that in mind as we go on. Matthew 19, verse 21. Jesus said to him, If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Christ said to the man he was calling, you keep some of the commandments, but something else fundamental has to change about you if you really want eternal life. What was that fundamental change? Verse 22, Matthew 19, verse 22, "But when the young man heard that saying," he heard what he was lacking, and he heard what he had to do about it, "he went away." Jesus said, "Come this way and follow me," and he walked away to his treasure. Verse 23, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven.'" So what fundamental change did not take place in that man at that time? I would argue that the most fundamental change that must occur in your life and in my life and in anyone's life who wants eternal life is a change in what we love and what we value. This man liked the idea of eternal life. He's asking, how do I get it? And then when Christ tells him what's required, he says, I don't want it, because he loved his treasure. Where his treasure was, there his heart was. And that's where he went. If you don't buy it quite yet, turn to John 12, verse 42 and 43. John verse 12, verse 42, speaking about Jesus Christ. It says, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. The difference between them who believed and those who believe and are saved is what they love the most. 1 Corinthians 13 again, which I'll read for you. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2 through 3. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. So if you read the Bible, I would challenge you to find anything more fundamental, a more fundamental difference between those who get eternal life and those who do not, than what they love, what their priorities are, what they esteem, what they value. What we love is the most fundamental difference between true sons and daughters of God and everyone else. Luke 6, verse 32. Luke 6, verse 32 says, but if you love those who love you, what credit is it to you? For even sinners love those who love them. Sinners haven't changed. They act like natural men. They do not love their enemies. How are we, Christ's disciples, supposed to be fundamentally different? Luke 6, verse 35, but love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. If you want to see the Bible come to life, tell this to somebody, and you will see that God's word is foolishness to the natural man. Love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. Those people, true Christians, change what they love, what they esteem, what they value most. And the changes were from changing to loving the physical most to the spiritual, from loving the temporary to the eternal, from focusing on what do I want and what pleases me, to loving others as much as they love themselves. True Christians show the law of God written on their hearts, and the purpose of the law and the commandments is what? 1 Timothy 1, verse 5 tells us, now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart. So what are all those 66 books, 1,200 chapters, thousands of verses, and hundreds of thousands of words in the Bible telling you and me? I think they're telling us the fundamental insight to take away from today's message. When we love the right things, we make the right decisions. We don't sin. When we love the wrong things, we make the wrong decisions. We walk away from and towards the wrong things, and we sin. Someone commented on the story about the Good Samaritan, and he observed this. He said, the first question the priest and the Levite asked was, if I stop to help this man, what's going to happen to me? The Samaritan reversed the question, and he said, if I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him. And this is an example of the change, what we love and value and are willing to invest in. As a final thought, I'd like you to put yourself in the position of the rich young man and focus on the conversation, not on the riches. So you're talking to Christ, and you say, what do I yet lack? What would Christ say to you or to me? What physical or temporary or self-focused thing would he tell us to give up? What spiritual, eternal, other-focused thing would he tell us to focus on instead? And whatever the answer would be, would you be willing to change? The fundamental question is, would you walk after him or would you walk away?